This is Monday, September 27th, session number 309, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved, starting at 7:57 a.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, we actually have a morning session. Very good.
Yes,
that's a rarity.
Well, it's like for the drinking crowd, it's always 5 o'clock somewhere. So, what new delicious, wonderful fun would you like to play today?
Well, it's actually a topic that probably seems rather old now because we've been acting like we're going to crack it for months. The reaping and sowing and reaping.
Ah, okay. So you're talking about the series.
Yes, yes.
All right. Let's lay it out just to get your feet wet.
Mm-hmm.
Try it on your looky box.
Yeah.
And open up your throat hole, honey, and we'll let this slide down.
Right.
That's not really what we're after here. We want to lay a little bit of a foundation so you got something to build upon.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, if you could own your looky box, mm-hmm. look up, put in sowing and reaping, and then / Bible.
Mm-hmm. Galatians 6:6-18.
Uh-huh.
What came up
there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all.
Then there's that's the first one at Bible.org. And then there's something, consequences, the law of sowing and reaping. And that's lessons 2 of 6. So, and that's as well in Bible.org. And everything else. There's
don't want the law. See, that's what we're going to
do. So, Galatians 6:6-18. Where do you want me to go from there?
Well, let's just start right there.
Yeah.
Start right there. Galatians 6:18.
Yeah, later, I guess, you know, chapter 6:6-18.
Uh-huh. Well, it's very interesting that this portion of Galatians falls under the category of bear ye one another's burdens.
Oh my gosh.
Now, that's not what you signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the reference here. So here we're starting right out of the chute at the end of the letter to the church at Galatia,
mm-hmm.
for the Galatians, pardon the pun, that lays the whole reference here into this work that immediately takes an odd, bizarre, macabre twist right out of the chute.
Mm-hmm.
But now, going back just a little bit, we could go through the whole thing, but that doesn't make any difference. Let's go back to chapter 6:5. The point is, the scripture reads in verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden.
Mm-hmm.
And that also, that burden is also meant as a load.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's key. That's key in our world because you're talking about your own universe. You're talking about your own world. Now, there's been many, many connotations laid out, and we would like, just for the insightfulness of this whole prospect, because since this is all about you and Bob, no better place to start than with you. When you hear the words, sow and reap, or as you keep saying it, and we like the way you say it, reap and sow. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We like that. Now, you think it's like, oops, I'm sorry, I screwed it up. No, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
For you, that's how it actually is. So when you hear the words, and you've heard J.W. blast about it, and you've heard us offer it for sale, promoting it, and it hasn't even been begat yet in your reality. Well, it really has.
Mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. it's going to make this mm-hmm. a little simple. But now, what do you, in your world, just from your knowing, before we tell you a thing, what do you think this means, to reap and sow, to you?
Well, the reaping and sowing, when I look at it from that angle, it's like you keep talking about the finish, the start of the Bible is really the end of the Bible. So it's like it defies time. It doesn't have a beginning of you have to sow something before you can reap it.
That's right. You're right. That's the point. That's the new portion. Now you're going to send the boys down to Farmer's Almanac, get right up their nose. Because
mm-hmm.
what you're saying, what we're fixing to lay out explicitly is, without time, how does a garden grow?
Right.
But here you go. How does a garden become until there's already something to reap, Carolyn?
Well, if we're going about the no time principle, then
even just the simplest way, even mm-hmm. with time. Let's do it with time. How do you put a garden in without reaping?
You mean clearing the land first?
No. That's the action.
Mm-hmm.
We say there can't be sowing until there's a harvest.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So you've been cheekily saying reaping and sowing.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, no, it's sowing and reaping. That's how it works, sowing and reaping. And we've not corrected you. We've played
mm-hmm.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you've actually done is isolated and pinpointed the entire series right out of the chute. How do you put a garden in with time, with humans in their less than place? How does the process of sowing and reaping apply until there is indeed a harvest?
Yeah, because you need something to sow with.
Ah, there you've hit it.
Mm-hmm.
There you've hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've said it's better to give than to receive only after your complete ascension, because you'll give out real quick. You got nothing to give.
uh-huh.
And try it. Try mm-hmm. it. Try manifesting in someone else's reality.
Mm-hmm.
It'll end in tears every single time. We say it's not your job. We say it's not your position. We say it's why are you involved in the mess anyway. You're just going to find out how inappropriate you are as directing creation
mm-hmm.
in other people's universe. Because the best you're going to get is hated,
mm-hmm.
even if you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when that comes into play, it's kind of like, well, crap. Now what now, Ion? I'm right. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
See, good. Point made. Now what? Okay. Now what we're talking about is the process of increase. And we're talking about allowing energy to flow, source to flow, and for you to allow abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think abundance means?
What do you call it? Packed down, put together.
Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing.
Yes.
More than you can contain.
Yeah.
Well, if that were dust, that would be a problem, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If that were laundry, that'd be a problem, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If that were food, that could become problematic,
mm-hmm.
couldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Too much would rot, yeah.
Well, or, hey, let's go at it from even a more practical application. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing on Saturday market, it would make it to the point that the chariot wouldn't even haul it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what you do with it once you get it home.
Right.
So it becomes a specific gravity field. Now, we've not applied gravity to reaping ever.
Mm-hmm.
Till right this second. What do you know about specific gravity of things?
Well, it's measured in liquid, so it measures the amount of solutes that are in a liquid that create a density in the water.
Density in water, thus affecting its gravitational pull.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the gravity of the matter is how much goody you have in the liquid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now on that premise, now we're going with this from your place.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's going to become fruitful. Now, we got some other stuff to cram in there, don't you worry. Mm-hmm. But we got to start at this point so it becomes intriguing to the point that you get to the place of getting to this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to know how to achieve manifest abundance, whether it's husbands or monies or orgasms or stuff or houses or lands or chattels or bank accounts or happiness or bliss or pick something, you see. That's the thing. And continually, Bob's position, well, it's changing lately, but continually Bob says, well, but you never get anywhere. Well, you've seen through the revelation process, all of a sudden now you are getting somewhere. Now you're to the next layer, tier, which you'll see with those eyes of y'all's, that this will become absolutely prolific because it's going to give the essence of the secret of the things that you've already laid out. Now, the request has been made to keep this as a light, open, generalized, topical conversation because we have to interject some things here that can't be included.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, here you go. You've been busy as a bee, honey, bringing the honey, the nectar, into play. Mm-hmm. That's based on a harvest that's already been. And now because of that harvest, those seeds that were sacrificed, they died, they sprouted, and new life became from begat from that intention. Because those seeds didn't have to sprout. We had to wait. Well, we don't wait. We had to allow. Well, we don't allow. We had to watch as you allowed the seeds to come to you. We've never instigated it or pushed it or forced it, but we knew that timing would make a prolific difference in your connection of the specific gravity of this matter. Now, you just heard the edit wheels spinning quickly, didn't you? Because it's like, oh, holy crap, yeah, that ain't going out. But so you know, that'll give you a great asking place as you sort of delve into this process. All right, so now you've received the harvest. And from the harvest, now you want to do some sowing. Individually.
And what you said at the outset was that it's only the when someone becomes enlightened that they begin to give it away.
That's right. Very good. My word. See, all those years of anatomy served you well after all. Okay? So now, and so now you, now we've laid out something here to sort of kiska say to work with.
Yeah.
All right. So now you looked up sowing, reaping and sowing, or sowing and reaping, and got a Bible scripture reference for Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, which is, by the way, the last book of Galatians, the last chapter of Galatians. All right? And the topic of this particular section is do not be weary in well-doing. And Carol says, Ion, what the hell are you talking about? We're not supposed to take any action. We're not supposed to take no action. Ion, come on, you cheeky devil, non-physical you. What in the hell are you talking about? We look up on my lucky box, sowing and reaping, and send us to Galatians into this chapter of bear ye one another's burdens, find out that every man shall bear his own load, and then this particular topic is do not be weary in well doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now wait a second. What does this have to do with sowing and reaping?
Mm-hmm.
So now let's just jump into it a little bit, starting at 6. Let him that is taught in the word. Now, we're going to have to break this down. Now, don't you worry. Bobby's going to tear this all to pieces. That's okay. But I just want to get it down so there's some precipice here to jump from.
Right.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate. Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Uh-oh, that's copyrighted by Martha Stewart, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing. Well, let him that is taught in the word share with or communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got another reference that we'd like you to take down. It's 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a minute. Now, an easy trigger. Don't be deceived. Don't be screwed up. Don't be crazy. Don't be lied to. Don't be lied on. Don't be tricked.
Mm-hmm.
Be not deceived. Capital God is not mocked. Now, we already said who God is.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Carolyn Dean is not mocked.
Mm-hmm.
For whatsoever Carolyn soweth, that shall she also reap.
Mm-hmm. I think what I remember from Bible studies is that passage and sowing and reaping was used to admonish people that
right. You
better be good, you better be, or Santa Claus
right,
won't
right,
come
right.
to you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But now, what this ain't saying that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Be not deceived. Don't get screwed up in your screwingness.
Mm-hmm.
You are not mocked for whatever, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay. Now, we'll take a pause. What does reap mean? Because we've heard of the reaper, the grim reaper. What? Look up the word reap, R-E-A-P,
mm-hmm.
and just see what it is.
Gather as of natural products, harvest the grapes, reap to cut grain or pulse for harvest with a scythe, sickle, or reaper, to harvest a crop. It's all about cropping and reaping.
yes, to reap. But the word itself, to reap, do you have an etymology from that, from where it came from?
Okay. And we go straight to Webster's and see. Middle English, repen, R-E-P-E-N, from Old English, R-E-O-P-A-N. It's like reopen.
That ain't what reap means by your definition you just read.
Mm-hmm. I know, to reopen. I mean, I don't
reopen.
Know, but it's R-E-O-P-A-N in the Old English.
That's fine. We love Elizabethan. It's all the rage.
Mm-hmm.
It's still daunting on Shakespearean fables. Mm-hmm. So, but see, but you got to get to the grits and gravy of where it come from, because people's run around slanging it like hash, and they don't even know what the hell they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, now let's read it with your dear. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reopen.
And ripe, there's another etymology called ripe. But ripen, reopen, same thing to me.
Ready.
Ready, yeah. Ready.
We're engaging it. Ready.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you look, it's pretty much kind of there. They just shortened it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, while you're ready to throw, look at soweth and use the ETH because that's the reference that it's being made here.
Mm. Soweth, Webster's.
Yeah, because you know I'm going to etymology too.
So the word you've entered isn't in the dictionary. Ooh.
Well.
Cheeky.
Oh, shall we throw that one out?
So a definition. And then they go to Galatians and Proverbs for the word. So they're not even defining it for us.
Interesting. So therefore we can't use it, right?
Mm-hmm. Now they've got...
Try so.
Well, they've got a Webster's French. What does that chap... So with it... No, they just give like sentences where it appears.
So try so. S-O-W.
Mm-hmm. So... An adult female swine. The adult female of various other animals.
That's a sow.
Yeah. Let me sow the ground with sunflower seeds. Okay, let me go to another page here. So, sow's a noun, sow's a verb. And let me get beyond the swine here. No, they're not giving me birth. That's bizarre.
Well, isn't it a bit odd that the words that people use more, or they throw around like rock candy, you can't even get a definition in all of your World Wide Web.
Uh-huh.
How intriguing is that? So I guess that means they're waiting on us to define it. So,
mm-hmm.
Hit your wiki. Well, try wiki and see if they've even taken a stab at it. Now, you know how much we loathe the Wikipedia, but at least something that we can have contrition regarding.
Well, Webster's kind of came up with self-so is to sow itself by dropping seeds by natural action as of wind or water, but
there you go. That we can work with that a bit, but see, that's so limiting.
Oh, here we got a sow verb where we got a verb here to plant seeds for growth, especially by scattering. To set something in motion, begin an enterprise, to scatter seed, to strew, to set in motion, to spread abroad. So, yeah, once I get the, maybe I was just looking at nouns.
Spread abroad. Well, you know we don't do verbs.
That would be
appropriate. Now, why would you use that? People use to sow as an object of the preposition to, meaning that it's an action that is, would be... In a noun stateth, for soweth,
mm-hmm.
For he that soweth, okay, now, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, scatters, that shall he also reopen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got to sow, to scatter. Now, you had some other to distribute, mm-hmm. as in other countries. Well, what did you have in mind for the ICEL specifically?
To spread it far and wide.
Uh-huh. And so that you can also reopen.
Mm-hmm. To introduce into a selected environment, to set in motion... To scatter upon the earth for growth, to plant, yeah, to set in motion, begin an enterprise. Yeah.
Ain't it all what they said it, what you thought it was?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we blasted into any, injected in any session and said, and I looked and I saw the field was white, ready for the harvest. Thrust in the sickle and reap.
Are you saying you did or didn't say that?
Over and over and over and over and over.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, there we are.
Uh-huh. So now you're getting somewhere. So when you put that in, this is where it sent you, was to Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
And now this comes into a topical reference, which is odd, because you thought you was going to learn how to dig up the soil and sacrifice the seed and come into this whole, this place of a problem that you was going to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And you roll back around and found out that it's actually something total, 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 total different.
Mm-hmm. Now
that's talking about going to a business.
Uh-huh. Now, is this series something to share with the public? I mean, obviously you've said words that can't be shared, and this is just the beginning place of looking into it. But
this is opening the window to show you what it looks like at your 22 mark. This is just to let you know
mm-hmm.
the is. And that's why we're doing this from a conversation. Which allows you to have in-depth insight. So now after a little bit, boy, how do you, could tear up some questions
mm-hmm.
and become a non-Bible bumper's dream.
But the question is this just for Bob and me, or is this something that we're working on to share with others?
You're going to open it up for others, but this is to lay out the groundwork to see what it is that the series is going to broach.
Right. Well, talking about sowing and reaping the eye cells. And
well, we won't include that in the series.
Yeah.
It'll be generic. It'll be generic, but that you know would make you have an inclination to ask about it and to get even deeper insights. Because what do you think Dobstown's going to do with this? They're going to have
Yeah, but my questions would all be about, what countries, what people,
distribution. That's fine. Because that could be generically applied to the Snicker bar industry, too.
Mm-hmm.
You see? I mean, it could just as easily be about Cell 8. Same story. Could also be number 2 lead pencils. Makes no difference. Now, there's another reference here right at verse 7. So that's why this is laying it out and opening it up, stirring it up a bit. This is what you call setting the roux.
R-U-E?
Yes. Where you take oil or grease in a pot and take flour and cook it very slow and brown it.
Mm-hmm.
You make a roux, and that becomes the basis for a sauce for something you're going to cook.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll be the thickener of the gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you're getting right here, we're working on the roux. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to stir a roux and stir a roux and stir a roux. Bob ain't interested in stirring the roux. He will once it's laid out that there's something to get, we're going to end up with dinner out of this.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to be patient to stir the roux to get to a place where we can get to somewhere.
Well, if it involves all the patents and or the discoveries and spreading them around, then I'm sure he'll be right on it.
Oh, absolutely. So we got to lay a little of this out for this place, but then we have to have it. You got to get that so you know what questions, how far to go for your series.
Mm-hmm.
But this series is going to be key for those that are going to receive the eye cells to make a significant, by default or otherwise, in their realities. It's going to be significant for them to get this portion so they know how to apply the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
You see, just handing somebody just handing somebody a package of seeds doesn't make them a master gardener.
Mm-hmm.
So just handing them eye cells ain't gonna do them very much. You got to get with the program to show and make available the knowledge, the knowing of how to apply it into their meat sack. Because it says, don't be screwed up. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reopen or reap. So, if you get this, don't be screwed up, because God's not going to be mocked. If you're going to provide eye cells and you ingest them, if you sow eye cells in your body, that's what you're going to reopen. Your tactile DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So don't fuck with it, because God's not going to be fucked with.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And that's what it's saying. Just pinpoint clear as Gutenberg could Gutenize it.
Mm-hmm.
Now they give a reference here for Job chapter 13, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
They also give a reference for Luke. Dr. Luke on General Hospital. Oh, no, that's a soap opera. Luke, chapter 16, verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
And also in the chastening book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 6.
Okay. Well, to my mind, references, I get that. To my mind, it's like two almost disparate topics, where one is Bob and I and JW working on all our patents and distribution, and then how to bring them to the public, what, you know, because it's what we want to do, and whether they like it or not or whatever. So why are we getting involved with trying to talk people into doing this?
No, you're not. Mm-hmm. You're trying to lay out the process to make it available for those that are interested in how to become the constant gardener,
mm-hmm.
that the harvest can be reaped mm-hmm. without any tilling of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important that you lay this out, because in the Garden of Eden, there's not going to be any work to do, but you won't know what to do. You can't even enjoy it. You can't even enjoy the wonder that is wrought on your behalf. You'll trample the roses because of the thorns.
Who will? Me or the public? Humans.
The public, humans, the humans. All this is laying out is how to bring up bountiful harvest and how to achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get the details of what it is that you're sowing and what you're reaping and what that means. So then when you just turn around and go, where's my money so I can buy a ticket to go to Hawaii on the harvest moon? Oh, well, you didn't allow it into your experience. Well, yes, you did. But what you sowed and what you reopened didn't get you ass to
mm-hmm.
Ed's world.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what good is all this power and being a marvelous creator if it can't even get you butt on an airplane to Hawaii?
Mm-hmm.
Don't seem very fruitful. What's the point?
Mm-hmm. Got you.
So you got to lay out the opportunity to how to achieve any and all of everything without any disappointion, where you're disappointed and in consortium for disapportion or disapportionate grief
mm-hmm.
because you didn't know what you was doing in your process of you thrusting in the sickle to reap.
So where does the sowing begin?
That we ain't got there yet.
Okay.
We just found out that you didn't know what sowing meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it would be a bit premature to tell when to sow when you don't even know what sowing is just developed yet. But let's go to 8, because this is how this broad spectrum it gets to be a real big wide beginning place, and it gets sieved down to mm-hmm. pinpoint accuracy.
Sure.
But now in verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption.
Wow. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the So if you're just trying to engage your flesh, then that's not the appropriate way to begin this.
Well, let's go on. There's a little bit more. And then it's got a but. He that soweth to the capital Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
So now, wait a second here. Doesn't this, you asked, when do you sow?
Mm-hmm.
In the very next verse, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, they also reference that to death.
Mm-hmm.
Corruption.
Mm-hmm.
But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets to be very interesting here because it's giving the when and where to sow.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what verse 8 is saying, that the eye cell ain't going to help you if all it's going to do is to get your breast to be a little more perky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If all the eye cell's doing is letting you grow hair so you can get the younger chicks,
mm-hmm.
that's not going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Won't last.
Mm-hmm.
Won't serve you. Now, it's a perfectly good reason. I mean, if you got a turkey neck and it bothers you, the eye cell will work, no problem. But just like every other grease or lotion they sell in nail, you can use it, but it doesn't last long.
Mm-hmm.
It'll make them crow's feet go away until you wash it off. Same process.
Mm-hmm.
If it's to cover up, to cover up something, you're kind of going at it the wrong way. But now from the Spirit, capital Spirit, now since you've done the revelation and you have a brand new understanding of what capital Spirit is and how it interjects into the process of speaking to the angels in your ascension, in your acclimation of allowing the non-physical to help and make conversion on your stead with the elders and the beast at the throne with the altar from the blood of the Lamb. Now, see, we're given a whole bunch of big words that go back, oh, yeah, we did that. Yeah, got it. That was at the throne, and the elders, and you're on the throne, and you're God, and no. Well, this is what all that's referencing back to, that with the eye cell, with your patents, and the connection to non-physical, your spirit, then you reopen life everlasting. Reopen life everlasting. Reopen means you used to have it, now you're going to reopen it again.
Mm-hmm.
Case closed. Now it's reopened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so that's telling you when and when, which was spot on. Great question, dear, because you hit it, because it's making reference. Now, we'll play with Hosea 8, chapter 8, verse 7. And maybe a bit of Romans, chapter 8, verse 13. But we'll just that would be it. The Romans is all about the rules and the regulations.
Hmm.
All right. So now, verse 9. And let us, little you, and let us not be weary in well doing.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? And let us not be weary in well-doing. Why would they really kind of do the let us not be weary? Well, if you're not be weary, could you say that? Let us be happy in well-doing?
Mm-hmm.
Let us be exhilarated in well-doing? Why is it let us not be weary in well-doing?
Well, you shouldn't let it drain you or strain you.
Well, but that's not what they're referencing. They're referencing here is, and do not give up in well-doing. And when you use it that way, it seems a bit trite. And let us not be weary in well-doing.
Do not give up in well-doing?
Yes. That's the way that the scriptures are referencing it, to not give up.
Huh.
To reason. For in due season we shall reap. Now, what is due? D-U-E.
Given unto, meant for, earned, allowing, something like that. I'll look it up.
Yes, please.
Owed or owing as a natural or moral right.
Due. So as a natural or moral right, owed.
Owing
for
as a debt.
For in debt season we shall reap. Hey, Carolyn, what kind of season are we in?
In the fall.
What did James and your husband do to the owing business?
Don't know. Not getting that.
It crashed the economy.
Oh, that. Right.
Your definition, due. Notes, due. Owed.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for when Bob and James crashed the economy in that season, Carolyn and Bob are going to reopen if you don't pass out. The scripture, Galatians, knew when it was that y'all was going to do this hint that you're doing. Now, we're not reading anything into this. You looked up due. And what did you say due means again?
Owing as a debt.
For in owing as a debt season, we shall reap. Reopen. If we faint not. Faint not. Now there's a reference. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And then the fainting business goes into Matthew 24, verse 13, which we can visit, but it's not the deal. You know, it's not the deal breaker. It's just laying out the, the giving up position that you play with. Okay. Now, you are to be kind of bubbling there, dear. Now, Bob would be ripping that, so what are you getting out of that?
Well, when I hear this, the verse itself, it does seem like a stretch to get to crashing the economy, and then that helps us reopen.
Well, great. Well, what does due mean? We didn't know what due meant. You looked it up.
Yeah, I know.
Definition inappropriate.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. See, that's why we're real careful to use y'all's words. Because you ain't going to fight with y'all's words. You know, if you got an issue with it, call Noe Webster. He's the one who fouled it all up.
Right, so
it's that lexicographing industry.
Yeah.
But that's interesting how it plays into it straight away, plain as day, based on the definitions at bay. And then it even gives you the rest of the story in verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all little italicized men, especially unto them who are of the household of Bob. Oh, wait, no, a household of faith.
The household of who?
Faith.
F-A-I-T-H.
Yep.
Now, what have we done? What have we done on faith?
Oh, well, look up faith.
I am.
What is?
Allegiance to duty or a person. Loyalty. Fidelity to one's promises. Sincerity of intentions. Belief and trust in and loyalty to. Well, treat yourself.
Exactly.
Here it is. Belief and trust in and loyalty to God. Ooh, perfect.
Get out.
It says that.
Well, just so you know. And we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all the little ones, the men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it sort of bespeaks the question that it comes back to. A person does have to be on the path of ascension or ascending to get the benefits of whatever. I mean, there's no getting around it. You can do it by default, but it serves you much better if you're ascending.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And now, to jump back just a little bit, we've got to kick this in because this is going to be a vast portion of the unified work. You got to go back to chapter 5, verse 22. And that section is about the fruit of the Spirit. Because we've made reference to the Spirit all the way back up here in 6-8. We've made reference to it. So now we've got to jump into the fruit of the Spirit. Now this is on the same flow of where we're working. We're still in Galatians. We just, the tail end of the previous chapters of 6, that's all. Verse 22, beginning. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, Forcefield. Joy, that's what we keep saying, get at. Not love is joy, is love, comma, joy, comma, peace, comma, long-suffering, comma, gentleness, comma, goodness, comma, faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. That's reference to 1 Timothy 1, verse 9. But now did you get that? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Okay, so if a person has all those attributes, then they're above the law?
That's right. That's the benefit of this Spirit business that they talk about in 6-8. Remember, the only regulation with chapter 23 of Revelation is don't go talking to the angels when you're angry. That was a stressed pinpoint beginning place. Well, now here's the benefit. Now that's what you shouldn't do. Now here's the benefit of if you don't do it, here's what you get. Okay? And now we're going to 24. And they that are Christ's have, now look at this. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. And that references into pride, irritating pride. So basically it gives you the little pinpoint statute of this fruit of the Spirit. Now, you got to see, we're just pricking this little pimple here. We're just getting it started. But it lays out a great big portion that you'll want to pick up in Galatians 5:22 as well.
Now that verse 24 you just talked about, that was Galatians 6 verse 24?
No, 5:24.
Yeah, okay. Got it.
because it's not a 6/24.
Got it.
Okay. Now, sowing and reaping. Now, here's the process that we we're gonna. Do you have enough empirical scripture reference to play with to chew on?
Do you want me to go to these references and?
No. I'm just saying, in our conversation, it's starting to form.
Yes, what you've laid out looks
good. It's starting to firm up and have practical application. Now, we're going to do a whole bunch more in the actual series, but that's enough to get that just sort of to whet your appetite. This is the appetizer to make you hungry. And now, here's how we're going to lay it out here. We want to give you the big picture, and we'll ramble just a little bit. Stop us if you have a question. But this is laying out the guts of the reaper. Why don't we just call it the reaper?
Mm-hmm.
And let everybody think it's something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? The reaper. The reopener.
Mm-hmm.
The reopener-er.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how it works. You're a marvelous human creator. You're coming into your place of power. Now, you don't have to. You can be dumb as dirt. Well, we can't use that. But you can be not ascended and not care to ascend and just lay down and not go and die. See?
Mm-hmm.
You can still be do this process that we're talking about right here, even in your less than place of can't get there. So this is a practical thing that you can apply every single time without fail or exception. Here's how it works. In your place, we're going to parallel it to a field. Here's how to sow and reap consistently and always have a bountiful harvest and have increase. Let's just start this way. You take 1 acre of land.
Mm-hmm.
Or 1/2 hectare if you're from another region.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You take that field or that space and you prepare the soil, meaning you make it ready. The same way if you go to church, you make yourself ready before you go to church. Just like if you're a bride, you make yourself ready before the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
When we say make ready, we mean prepare.
Yep.
Now, you could delve into that a little more, obviously, but you get the gist from the picture book here.
Mm-hmm.
You take 1 acre. All right. Now, if you have reaped a harvest already, then you've already got the seeds that you would sow.
Mm-hmm.
Out of your abundance. Now, do you see where we're going here? Somebody ain't got nothing and can't have nothing and can't get nothing. That's why they say the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Because all the poor's got to sow is poverty and all the rich got to sow is abundant wealth.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's easy for rich people to get richer because they're already rich. That's why they say that, because it's true. All I've got is rutabagas. Well, guess what? You sow rutabagas, you're going to get rutabagas. You're not going to get turnips.
Mm-hmm.
Because you made the rule of sowing and reaping.
Mm-hmm.
See, the humans made this. We're just telling you what you made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can it be undone? Yes, everything is possible, but you haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
Your daddy used to graft things.
Mm-hmm.
To marry them together, but all he did was to make a union that also shifted the harvest, but he didn't change what the harvest was based upon, as an example. So you can matriculate it, but you can't undo it. Okay? You got 1 acre of land. If you've already had an abundant harvest, then you've already got the seeds to sow already. But if you don't have the seeds to sow, then you got nothing to start with.
Hmm.
So how in the world would you allow an abundant to find you?
Mm-hmm.
You've made a law. Now you got to abide by your rule and regulation, so therefore you can't make it. That's why people stealing the Revelation series, if they'd ask, they could have it, they could borrow it, and then make retribution. And we're going to show you how to do that. But that's why if you steal Revelation, the knowledge that you're going to gain is going to canker on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, do we care? No, we want it to help everybody. It's a compliment that they'd steal it from you, dear.
Mm-hmm.
It's a compliment that they'd steal it from you. Delicious. Marvelous, wonderful. It's good. But at the same time, you got to not usurp your own regulations, especially as God. You see, it kind of sets bad precedent for the other gods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are a bunch of wordy words that don't mean a whole lot, but let's get back to the story. You got 1 acre. You've got no seed. Let's say you've made a harvest and you have seed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you allocate this acre to sowing and reaping?
I don't know. You sow as much of the land as you can, I would think.
1 acre. We're going to sow 1 acre.
Right.
Well, how do you allocate how this crop's going to go? Well, let's do it this way. You take and divide the field in half.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got 1 acre, and you divide it in half. You sow the entire acre.
Mm-hmm.
You let it grow to the seed, and you get more seeds out than you put in.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the benefit of this sowing and reaping process. Now we're getting to the portion of the series that you thought the series was going to be about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you divide it in half. Here's how this works. The grain that comes forth from your benefits of harvest, if you eat your grain of your harvest, then you won't have anything to sow next season.
Mm-hmm.
If you save all your seed to have a bigger heart planting next year, then you are going to starve to death in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an allocation. Half. Half you consume.
Yeah.
Half you save.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, if you have the seed to begin with, no problem. Now, if you don't have the seed to begin with, you can borrow seed, make a harvest, okay? But here's how that allocation works. And this is where the scriptures talk about a tenth or paying a tithe.
Oh, yeah.
This is where every bit of that came from. If you don't have the seed to start with, you should take a tenth of that 1 acre and set that aside to, in whatever it raises, to give back to the one that gave the seed for you to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And then and only then is when any tithe would be due.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they paid tithe to Melchizedek was because they borrowed seed to make a crop or they'd have starved to death.
Mm-hmm.
And now the church is running around saying, Jesus gave his all. Why can't you give your 10%?
Oh, gosh.
And it never serves anyone, the preachers, telling you to be sure and give you 10%. Because
mm-hmm.
we're gonna get other poor people and get them some money so we can get their 10%.
Mm-hmm.
If the church now laid out their finance rules the way Amway and some of these other multi-networking marketing companies, they call them pyramids,
mm-hmm.
they'd put them in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Church is running nothing more than a glorified pyramid.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's what we said. And make it a point, because you can ask about that. It'll be developed, you see. Do you see that the bullet points that we're kind of creating here for the voluminous work that this will cover?
Mm-hmm.
You're getting the the crib notes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you got the field. If you don't have seed, set a tenth by to pay it back. Well, all right, let's say you're just getting started with this and you don't even have an acre of land.
Mm-hmm.
You got some seed, maybe, but you ain't got no land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then what happens is then you become what they call a sharecropper. And that's what America is today, is a sharecropper.
Mm-hmm.
You don't own the lands that you're using to bring forth you a harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when that happens, then guess what? You are a guest.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to divide half. You have to divide half, not a tenth. If you've got no seed or no land, then you're only going to end up with 40% to work with. So that means it's going to be a bit limiting until you enjoy the benefit of the increase of this process.
Well, that's now, 50 and 60% sounds like the taxes people are paying now.
Dun, dun, dun. There you go, darling. There's your sharecropper. Hey, you just explained it, and now we just told you why that is.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Now all of a sudden you're kind of going, holy crap, you know them damn Bible thumpers, they had something going on. They told what the dragon was going to be paying for the sharecroppers to farm somebody else's land so they can starve to death on 40% of what 100% should yield.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that intriguing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then you get into Galatians and you find out that when everything goes south and Bob and James tears up the economy, they're not going to be nothing to pay 60% to.
Mm-hmm.
So something's afoot.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where Carolyn comes in to save the day with her eye solution.
So,
laid out right there. Galatians knowed it.
Mm-hmm.
Paul knowed all about it. He wrote Galatians. He knew all about it.
So what you're saying is the patents.
Bless you.
Whoa. Well, hopefully only a tiny bit of that got on the tape. Wow.
Oh, next thing, none of it did, but we knew, so we said, bless you.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Whatever we're doing with these patents is going to save the economy, it sounds like.
No, it's going to redo it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It was pre-written before the foundations of the earth. That's how big your now is. Now, don't boast about it, but yes, you did wander around in the desert for 40 years for perfecting your art.
Yeah.
But we say don't boast that because that's the long way around. But once you got it clear.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
All right. So now let's get back to our, you've hit now. Now, see how good this is laying out. And all Bob's got to do is but to listen to this, and he's set up.
Mm-hmm.
See, he knows how to flow with it. From this place, because it's kind of engaged.
Right.
All right?
Right.
Now, next point. Now, we've laid out the sharecropper. We've laid out if you don't have seed.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And then let's say you don't have land and you don't have seed. 40% you receive as a harvest.
Yeah.
Now, that 40%, you divide that in half. 20% you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And 20% you save for next year's harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we see, we talk about next year's harvest like there's going to be a harvest. Well, the seed's what you're going to use to beget what you're sowing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's how a crime family works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like bed bugs. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But the percentages are always the same.
Right.
That's why you get yourself in a situation like JW, where it flows freely and easily, but the principles are still the same. Mm-hmm. So it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, but it's still working on the haves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, 20% of a whole great big pile of money is more than 20% of a dab.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now once you get your land and you got your seed, all of a sudden the price of poker goes way down.
Uh-huh.
Because you don't have to pay out a tithe, and the abundance that you gain from your process has increased. And then what happens the next year, and this is a bullet point to the next layer, because otherwise we'll do the whole series right here, right now. We're just trying to lay it out here. What happens is the next year, out of your abundance, you can increase your land and get some more land.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Notice how there's always, seemingly, they say that if the world was made out of gold, men would die for a handful of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the precipitation of the number of population, there still seems to be dirt.
Mm-hmm.
No limit of dirt. If you want a farm, you can find an acre of land somewhere somebody wants to buy or sell.
Mm-hmm.
There's always somebody that dies and lays it down and can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Or that moves into a different world. It's amazing how that there certainly should be very quickly a no available dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's never been an occasion when that's not the case, that there is never anything available to gain, own.
Mm-hmm.
That's an anomaly. But yet, it fits perfectly into our storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you roll along with this, very simply, very, very precisely, the numbers are precise. Mm-hmm. You do this harvest season mm-hmm. again. And then your numbers, your percentages are the same. And what's happened is it just keeps increasing, 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 increasing. So the next thing you know, whether you're an ascended human being or not, it still works. It's a principle.
Mm-hmm.
Not a law. We done undone the law.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a principle.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's not a law that if you put one kernel of corn in the ground that you get one kernel of corn out.
Mm-hmm.
You get a whole bunch of roasting ears. Well, you got to plant more than one or there'll be no, they won't tossle. There's nothing to cross-germinate it. But granted, you get the principle. If you plant one seed of a flower, you don't get one flower back.
Mm-hmm.
You get a bush with lots of flowers.
Right.
And seeds. And that is just the process of laying the same way with your DNA mm-hmm. in your meat stack body of how that becomes abundantly efficient.
Mm-hmm.
But now the sowing and reaping gives a larger application of an implication in running your kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
This is kingdom business only. If you're still trying to figure out how to come into your place of power, don't you worry about sowing and reaping, honey, because it's not going to be long. You're going to be on the relief line anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't you worry about coming to your power, because you'll be in your power and you'll starve your ass to death.
Mm-hmm.
You'll wish you could die.
Now, with the percentages and the body and the DNA, how does that work?
Oh, very easy. When you start increasing your strands, when you take up your cross,
mm-hmm.
when you take up your cross and follow me,
mm-hmm.
then what? My goodness. Then what happens? Then what happens? You start increasing. And it happens pretty fast, but not all at once. Because
mm-hmm.
let's say you went from two strands, or let's say one acre that's divided, and you go to 144,000 acres, that could be you might have trouble come harvest time because you may peter out trying to get it all in the barn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why this work and the revelation work is kind of key to give you heads up on the process of how this thing works.
Mm-hmm.
You see? The same thing with your engagement. JW has been all about this all along, and we told what it's going to be like. Now it's starting to show up that way to where we do a 3-hour show every week, and that's just no-brainer. You can do that with your eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the very beginning, and doing sessions, and doing your recordings, making available, it's almost more than you could do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you look at it now, J.W. looks back and goes, when, even he plays with degrees of separation 4 or 5 minutes a month. But even those places, it's kind of like, okay. And then he turns right around and looks back and go, holy crap, this is more than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And precipitously, bashed.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a warping of this time-space issue, because you put almost as much work out in a year or so as those that have been doing it for 30 years have put out so far.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it,
right.
If you look at it, and it's not even been really a hard press. I mean, you've not had to miss meals and miss massages to be able to complete the task at hand, have you?
Mm-mm. No.
And still run your life as you would please yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But as you let it flow, then that increase that you're experiencing right now is that same increase that we're laying out for in this sowing and reaping series.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to call it reaperdom.
Yeah.
All right. Now that lays out your sowing and your reaping. Now your increase and what to do. You got any just off-the-hat questions right out of the chute?
Oy. Well, in the transition of the sowing and reaping, we did lay aside a lot of our beach time.
Yes.
What did that have to do with anything?
The following the fastest path to your joy.
Mm-hmm.
Following the fastest path to your joy. And Bob had issue about that, so he had to have his meat sack body respond, so he couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
He made a way, so he couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, the joy is superlatively subjective.
Mm-hmm.
It adjusts. He loves doing what he does, and if you notice, he still spends as much time for free as he does in engagement.
Mm-hmm.
He'd do what he does for free.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he's following his bliss, now all of a sudden he gets in exchange a harvest.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So it's kind of like now, this works every single time without issue, but what if you have a cold snap or you don't get the harvest in or you let it lay fallow or you don't plant or those issues? It causes a disturbance in the breakdown of your sowing reaping process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's up to the individual human. That's why we say this ascension business is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
We suggest you really engage it.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've engaged it, then this becomes profound knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, great, Ion, I'm ascended. Okay, I've completed the revelation. I can order the angels. I can make everything in my world work out just for me. Okay, there's nothing else to do. There's nothing else to know. Great. Whoopee shit. We got eternity for nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
See, you don't get the Bob says it quick. You never get it done. You can't get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the active participation in this thing called contrast living that allows you a broader, larger fullness of a blissful place.
Mm-hmm.
That's why those that are in the farming business love to farm, and they'll die in the field.
Mm-hmm.
They love it. They absolutely love it. And they're not doing it for any better reason than it's fun.
Okay, so will we go into right now the sowing and reaping of the cell 8 and iCell and ion sphere and all that?
Yes, and those would be your bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
That we would use, and We'll have to abridge that a bit so we can make it where you can go out for mm-hmm. for humans.
Mm-hmm.
But that's easy done. You just keep it broad.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of wheat metaphors.
Now, in terms of keep it broad. There's your bullet points in broad form. So, to give people access to how to do this, is it a matter of just telling them the percentage law and borrowing this and borrowing that? Is that going to be specific enough?
It is. It certainly is.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly is. This lays it out. This is how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is how.
Mm-hmm.
This is when. This is what's how it happens if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes practical,
mm-hmm.
simple progression.
Okay. And that's what I'll leave Bob to?
Oh, sure.
Alrighty.
We want to go into. We'll finish up probably going into. I don't know how far he'll want to go. We'll probably end up in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to finish the Galatians verses right now,
Can we finish them?
I don't know if we get up to 18. We went back to chapter 5.
Yeah. Well, 18, the balance of it comes into circumcision, and so you separate. Now, all circumcision does is to separate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that does.
Mm-hmm.
So we can run through that. The motives of the circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
So that picks up at verse 11. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. 12. As many as desire, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair shoe in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised,
mm-hmm.
only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And that constrain is also referred to as to urge. They urge you to be circumcised,
mm-hmm.
only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Verse 13, for neither they themselves who are circumcised, quote, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Now, this takes care of the goddesses.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is laying it out and taking care of the goddess syndrome.
Huh.
I'm a goddess, and if you'll do what I do, you'll be better off than you are now.
Mm-hmm.
That's them that is telling you you should be circumcised, and
mm-hmm.
they're not circumcised themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Because then it's kind of like, okay, let's see how your circumcision come out, and then I'll consider if I'm going to have my foreskin removed or not.
Mm-hmm.
See, this cleans that up. They urge you to be circumcised, but it's always from a standpoint of, I'm keeping the law. I have desire to show it off in my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I urge you to be circumcised. So I can say that I've suffered the persecution of the cross of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because I'm circumcised. I keep the law. But I desire to have you circumcised that you can glory in your flesh.
But you're just giving an analogy there, but in the circumcision world, aren't the people who circumcise, aren't they all also circumcised? Or are you saying the women who say that?
No, not necessarily. It's what's making the reference.
Mm-hmm.
It's making the reference that you should use our words.
Mm-hmm.
You should use our words. And that'll get you into a place where then you can start feeling the place of the power of circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
And see, this is talking about the motives of those like Tina,
mm-hmm.
who are boasting about their circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
Those that aren't circumcised go, sugar love, you're full of crap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is motives of the circumcised. So it means just that. So if you can be soft and easy and get so busy pleasing yourself,
mm-hmm.
and if you are not circumcised, then that makes no difference,
mm-hmm.
then those will want to say, hey, I was thinking about circumcision. Tina, could you tell me about circumcision? And if they ask you, then we're having a way different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But until they do, we say keep your Peter parts to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Good. Now we're going to get some motives of Paul, the Apostle Paul,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and who wrote this letter. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, this is referenced in Romans. This is what's coming to 29, Romans 6:6, and Philemon 3:3, and then verse 7 and verse 8. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. Romans 2:29, and then 9:6-8. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus,
mm-hmm.
branded on marks.
Mm-hmm.
Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And that's in Philemon 25. And that's it. But that's just the Apostle Paul, which makes it's just kind of cleaning up the whole process, that if you is or if you ain't, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that we could take circumcision out and put ascension in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It makes no difference.
Mm-hmm.
None whatsoever.
Okay. Alrighty. Back where it says, as many as desire to make a fair shoe in the flesh, or was it
fair shoe, S-H-E-W.
Oh, fair show. Okay.
Uh-huh.
In the flesh, they can see. So it's not about, again, it's not about the flesh.
Right.
Okay. Alrighty. It's pretty straightforward when you look at it.
Of course.
What makes it be a series? I mean, how much more can be said?
Oh, my stars. Go to Zechariah,
mm-hmm.
chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
The man with the measuring line. That must be included.
Mm-hmm. Measuring what?
Line. Well, it'll lay it out.
Okay.
Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, says the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts shall send me unto thee. It's about Bob and Carolyn. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation.
Hmm. Does that have anything to do about us going to Israel? We've never talked about anything like that before.
No one said that, they didn't say Jerusalem was in Israel.
The New Jerusalem can be where, anywhere.
Uh-huh.
So are we creating a New Jerusalem? And where will that be?
Where will that be? It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta ask Bob.
Mm-hmm. Will it be in Maui?
Then you go to the gates. Then you go to the, well, if you want to know that, you gotta go to Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 30.
Ezekiel 48, verse 30, yeah. What does that say?
Well, that tells you about the gates of the city.
Ezekiel 46. Let's see if I can find that.
48, verse 30.
There will be the exits of the city. Let's see. Ezekiel 48:32. Where's just having a little.
Well, for you. And these are the goings out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures.
Mm-hmm.
And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel, 3 gates northward, 1 gate of Reuben, 1 gate of Judah, and 1 gate of Levi. And in the east side, 4,500. And 3 gates, 1 and 1 gate of Joseph, 1 gate of Benjamin, 1 gate of Dan. 33. And the south side, 4,500 measures, 3 gates, 1 gate of Simeon, 1 gate of Issachar, and 1 gate of Zebulun. And on the west side, 4,500, with 3 gates, 1 gate of Gad, 1 gate of Asher, and 1 gate of Naphtali.
Mm-hmm.
Name of the city. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord Is There.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Not too hard.
Oh my
God. You go all through Ezekiel, it'll tell you about chapter 42. They'll talk about the chamber of the outer court. It talks about how the place of separation in verse 15. Then in chapter 43, the return of glory of God to the temple. Then you go into the balance of that halfway, the altar and the burnt offerings. Then chapter 44, you have the duties of the temple priest. It'll tell you what their job is and what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
How it all applies. The great pecking order to explain it all for you. Then you go into chapter 47, and then you got the river that comes from the temple. That's that Lebanese water you're working on, darling.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come from the gate northward.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, out of the right side. Tell you every detail you want to know about the water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They'll give you the boundaries of the lands.
And which and then, verse is that of Ezekiel? Sorry, 48 verse what?
47, talking about the rivers.
Oh, yeah.
River from the temple.
Mm.
And then throw on down the boundaries of the land in 13. And then in chapter 48, you'll have the divisions of the lands and how it's all divided. Lays you all through the process of who's who and what's what.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back a little bit. Now see, it's just sliding into Ezekiel. Now, this is where you find out that Ezekiel was a watchman.
Mm.
He was a watcher. That's found in chapter 33. The appointment of Ezekiel as a watchman. Let's see. You see, it just goes on and on. So it'll probably flip into all of Ezekiel before it's over with.
Mm-hmm.
But now, that's going to be more for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Once
yeah.
you get that, then right. once y'all get that, see, there's lots of things coming and going, and Tyre and Sidon, mm-hmm. and the destruction of Tyrus and the judgment of Moab. See, they even talk about the Moabites. Bob talks about that from way back then.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go to 25:8, you can find out about the judgment of the Moabites
mm-hmm.
and how that all got undone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just great fun. Oh, and then, here's a fun one that'll tell you all about, remember we told you all about the boiling point of water changing?
Mm-hmm.
That's found in Ezekiel chapter 24.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. See, so it's, and it acted like it was the first time it's ever heard. Well, it really was the first time ever heard, but for it was such a moment as this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then the drawn sword, that'll come out, and all of Egypt and all the process of Cana and Ezekiel's time in the wilderness and the whole process there, and how it applies for your coming into your the parable of the vine tree, chapter 15, 16, where you, God, have mercy on Israel,
mm-hmm.
okay? Signs of stuff removing. This will tell you how to clear Ezekiel chapter 12. And the actual topic is the sign of stuff, baggage, for removing.
And what chapter
tells
verse?
You,
sorry?
Chapter 12, the whole verse. All the verses. 28 of them.
Mm-hmm. The sign of stuff for removing. Woohoo.
Yep. The departure of the glory of God to the threshold, the threshing floor, chapter 10. We're coming up on the 21st wicked ruler. So that's the vision of the 25 wicked rulers in chapter 11. And the big point of that is the promise of the restoration of the remnant. You've heard us talk about the remnant in verse 13 through 21. The reference of Ezekiel in chapter 9 is the call to the six men. Let's see. Well, let's just do it this way. From the pagan gods, Baal's wife or the female counterpart, Judges 2:13. Baal, a god identified by Merodach or Marduk, chief Babylonian god, Isaiah 46:1. Shemesh, the god of the Moabites and the Ammonites, in Jeremiah 48:7 and 13. Shin.
Hey, why are we going into those gods?
It'll be clear.
Mm.
Shin, a star god identified with Saturn, is in Amos 5:26. Dagon, the chief Philistine god, 1 Samuel 5:2-7. Merodach, the chief Babylonian god connected with war, also known as Marduk, Jeremiah 50, verse 2. Molech, the Ammonite god connected with child sacrifice, Leviticus 18:21. Nebo, the Babylonian god of wisdom of the arts, Isaiah 46:1. Rimmon, Syrian god of rain, 2 Kings 5:18. Tammuz, Babylonian fertility god, Ezekiel 8:14. Now, they list some also in the New Testament. This gets into your Castor and Pollux, is the twin sons of Zeus, chief Greek god, Acts 20:11. Jupiter, the chief Roman god, Acts 14:12 and 13. And Mercurius, the Roman god of commits and speed, Acts 14:12-13. Now, those points are referencing of how significant gods, however pagan, are. But it's laying it out for the details of just how specific goddom is cool. This goes back to the place when humans had their place of power. So we want to give some examples and some references of how humans have their place of power, and this is then that reference of how it becomes the pagan version of it, and how the Bible is just riddled with the whole process. Chapter 1 of Ezekiel's talk starts into the time of the vision, and then you have the four living creatures. And then you go to the four wheels, and then this describes the appearance of man through the firmament and lays out the whole process. So Ezekiel is probably something we're really going to lay into because it's telling about the future, which is actually when this was written, was about the past for your now. Mm-hmm. You're coming into the time of Ezekiel. And so we might, probably Bob wouldn't handle the entire survey of Ezekiel, but we certainly could bring it forth to lay it out. And there's great fun in David, but see, that's kind of esoteric. You can go to Jeremiah, go through all those, but that's not to redo the entire Bible, for goodness sake. But there are pinpoints, like in the Deuteronomy that brings you, that's the closest reference you have to how it's supposed to end up. Okay.
In Deuteronomy. And then
in Deuteronomy, and then, well, the first five books of Moses. See, because they're telling about it as though it used to be. Well, actually, that's what's coming.
So all the Bible is referenced to what we're doing now.
Of course, darling. That's why they wrote it, so that the reference would be there, so that they wouldn't say, y'all making this shit up. You can come right back and say, no. It's all fulfilling the scriptures. And see, when you start saying it that way, then they're going to shut up. That's what George was talking about when he said, make your work be a philosophy and nobody will sue you. Well, honey, you just philosophized the whole process.
I was just going to say, George didn't like us referencing the Bible. He didn't even want it.
Of course not, because his philosophy was something that he could subscribe. He didn't like that someone else knew what he didn't know. And we can do other great works. It's no problem, but gosh, you know, I mean, you can go live in lots of different places, but you might as well get happy where you are. And once you get it laid out for a detail for such an hour as this, then it becomes a very simple etymology, especially when the humans are using words they don't even know what they mean. And then in using that as their essence of defense, and they don't even know what it means. People run around talking about sowing and reaping and don't even have a clue what it's about.
Right.
No damn wonder they're hungry.
Starving.
So that then comes into the fruition of the completion by default of, number one, how to do the sow and reap process, and then how to apply the cross to the human genome strand to change the RNA to allow ascension to flow freely and easily to the human creators that are interested in its ascending properties. Because you see, everybody you help, they no good because they ain't going to tell nobody. They're going to be busy.
Cool.
See, you can really tell somebody who's really in love because they ain't talking about relations. The more relations they have, and the less they're talking about relations. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is the thing is, teachers teach because they can't do? Mm-hmm. Well, there you go, because if they could do, they certainly wouldn't teach. Now, what we're doing is we're offering a flow to give the human creators the opportunity to line up with that which has already been done, known. Mm-hmm. Now, we must say it's causing a bit of a spit in your 418 group.
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
Well, they see this as why is it non-physical's position to be a standard to ascend through the non-physical with the human creators this position? Mm-hmm. Because their philosophy is figure it out for yourself, and if you can't, it may not help you anyway. Uh-huh. And yet, the hour is nigh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so non-physical ion is giving us a heads up and a leg up. If
and
we want it.
If you, well, you asked for it, you desired it, so there it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it came from Bob. Because had he not desired it, you wouldn't have been still long enough to find out about it. Mm-hmm. You enjoy the fruits of it, but still it was the whole point of, I can't call evergreens anymore.
And with the 418 group, are they getting riled up enough to do anything about it?
Oh, no. No, 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 because they really don't care. It's just that's just the discussions. Mm-hmm. And if it's your desire, you're moving very quickly into a position to be exposed mm-hmm. to some of this crowd and this group. Mm-hmm. But we say before you engage that, you better talk to JW specifically with decorum of how you're going to handle it. Because mm-hmm. you don't want to get crossways of yourself.
Mm. Am I going to bump into any of these?
Certainly. You certainly are. That's why you're going to United Arab Emirates anyway. Mm-hmm. Don't you think it's odd that all of a sudden it has to have you there?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
It must be those great works you've been working on, messing it.
Mm-hmm.
They know, and that's how it got set up and got orchestrated. Mm-hmm. Orchestrated. Mm-hmm. Not orchestrated, orchestrated. Mm-hmm. And deliciously so.